I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care pharmacy podcast. This is episode 159. In this episode, I'll discuss the updated sepsis guidelines from the 2016 Surviving Sepsis campaign. I have all the evidence supporting today's show, including the guidelines linked up in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode159. If you know someone who would find this podcast helpful, please share it with them. Here are what I consider the five most important updates to the 2016 sepsis guidelines compared to the 2012 version. Number one, all patients receive 30 mL per kilo of IV crystalloid fluid in the first 3 hours. Fluid administration is essential to the initial resuscitation of a patient with sepsis-induced hypoperfusion. Regardless of other patient factors, such as age, ejection fraction, etc., resuscitation should begin with 30 mL per kilo IV bolus of crystalloid fluid. Excessive IV fluid administration may be harmful. After the initial 30 mL per kilo of IV fluid is given, additional fluid administration is guided by frequent reassessment of hemodynamic status. Use a fluid challenge technique to ensure that further IV fluid is only given if the patient is likely to respond. Update number two, the recommended vasopressin dose is now 0.03 units per minute. Previous guideline versions listed a range of 0.03 to 0.04 units per minute of vasopressin. The larger studies of vasopressin as an adjunct to norepinephrine in sepsis studied only 0.03 units per minute. Anecdotally, the confusion in the range often results in a small delay in vasopressin administration. For this reason, I'm glad the guideline authors simplified the recommendations by listing a single dose of 0.03 units per minute instead of a range. The third update is the specific time to wait for cultures before giving antibiotics is removed from the guideline statement. While cultures drawn before antibiotic administration provides essential treatment information, mortality increases with delays in antibiotic administration. Where the 2012 guideline statement used to specify antibiotics may be delayed up to 45 minutes to allow for cultures to be drawn, the current guideline statement is, quote, "We recommend that appropriate routine microbiologic cultures, including blood, be obtained before starting antimicrobial therapy in patients with suspected sepsis or septic shock, if doing so results in no substantial delay in the start of antimicrobials." The idea of waiting up to 45 minutes for cultures before giving antibiotics is still discussed in the guidelines, but the removal of this time frame from the guideline statement may prevent organizations such as CMS from using it as a quality metric. The fourth update is combination antimicrobial therapy is recommended in septic shock only. For patients with septic shock, the guidelines now recommend combination therapy be used against the most likely pathogens during initial management. The guidelines further define combination therapy. The use of multiple antibiotics, usually of different mechanistic classes, with the specific intent of covering the known or suspected pathogens with more than one antibiotic. For example, piperacillin tazobactam and an aminoglycoside or fluoroquinolone for gram-negative pathogens, to accelerate pathogen clearance rather than to broaden antimicrobial coverage. Other proposed applications of combination therapy include inhibition of bacterial toxin production, that would be clindamycin with beta-lactams for streptococcal toxic shock, or potential immune modulatory effects, that would be macrolides with a beta-lactam for pneumococcal pneumonia. And the fifth update is stress ulcer prophylaxis may be achieved with either a PPI or an H2RA. Because of uncertainties and ongoing trials, the guideline authors no longer recommend a proton pump inhibitor be used over a histamine 2 receptor antagonist. Instead, selection of stress ulcer prophylaxis is based on patient-specific factors and the relative risk of GI bleeding, C. diff, and pneumonia. Caring for patients with sepsis and septic shock are essential skills for critical care pharmacists. Reading the Surviving Sepsis Guidelines is a great start to understanding how to care for these patients. If you're interested in learning more about caring for septic patients, consider joining my Critical Care Pharmacy Academy at pharmacyjoe.com/academy. Starting Thursday, February 2nd, 2017, members of the Academy will have access to my new masterclass, Management of the Patient in Septic Shock. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.